You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
So welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. This is a baby podcast because it's Chris and I and our good friend Merc 80.
Yeah.
And the rest of the crew, it's the holiday season and you know how it goes down right now. It's holiday parties. Chris and I actually just came back from a cocktail party. And yeah, yeah, it's nice and fuzzy and warm in here.
You know, folk got traveling to do, spending time with family.
Right.
And obligations kicking in.
Exactly. And everybody's kind of just under the thumb of trying to get things done before these holidays kick in and all this time off comes about. So the rest of the crew fell off one by one. Wasn't able to participate.
Yeah, hard to get in.
Yeah, but that's okay. The three of us got together because we were really passionate and excited about the television series Insecure. And I think at a later date, we will probably have a year-end wrap-up of Black television in 2016 period, because this year has been a boom for us as far as Black television programming is concerned.
One good thing about 2016.
Yes. Yeah. Like, man, right. From primetime to cable to Netflix.
And some film, too.
Yeah, and film. There have been, it's just been a plethora of good stuff for us to see. Exactly.
And a variety.
Yeah.
Not just the regular, what we've been getting.
Exactly. I think anybody who, no matter where you are on the spectrum of Blackness, there was something that you probably could have watched and enjoyed at some point this year. But we, the three of us, want to talk about Issa Rae's, and shout out to Issa. We got an opportunity to interview Issa years ago when she was doing Awkward Black Girl. That might have been like 2010, 2011. And we tried desperately to get her to come to a podcast, and she seemed really interested and really wanted to come. I remember her telling me on the phone, she was like, I don't know if I want to participate, but that is something I would like to come and watch, you know, and observe. And I wish she had had an opportunity to do so. And hopefully she still might get an opportunity to do so. But this
big
is
time.
Yeah, this is Issa Rae. She's definitely jumped from the small screen to the big screen, from the computer screen to HBO.
Right. No, I think she's still very down to earth. I saw her over at what you call it? What's the name of that food spot? The health food place.
Simply Host?
Yeah. I saw her over there. She was just in there real regular. I wasn't gonna even say anything, but she was just in there, you know, keeping it cool, and somebody I think came up and talked to her, but like, you know, either which way, like she was still, you know, patronizing Black business, so yes. You know, not too big.
Yes, you know? And I love the fact that she still does a lot of events. She does a lot of events, but she keeps them in the community. They're in Inglewood a lot of the time, or just within the surrounding area. So it's not like she's moving things way outside of the community that supports her,
right.
Which I think is dope. I think it speaks so highly to just who she is and her character. And I think this show is such an awesome reflection of that. So shout out to Issa Rae and this creation of hers, Insecure, which I personally can say from episode 1 to episode 8 definitely blew my wig back. I want to say first, I think that this was such a lovely homage to the city of Los Angeles. I feel like the city itself plays its own character in the show. And those of us that have had the privilege of living here our whole lives, or at least for the last what, 15 plus odd years, mm-hmm. and who, you know the city really well, there's not one scene where you don't know where that's shot at. Everything feels so familiar. Mm-hmm. So that part of it was really enjoyable. Cool. Mm-hmm. But I guess we got to get to what became the...
You got to start with the relationship.
Yeah, we got to get to what ended up being like the central focus of the show, which was the relationship between the character Issa and her longtime boyfriend, Lawrence, and the boom of conversation that took place after that finale.
Now, I'm not on Facebook. I know both of you are. How much of this do you think came from people who were invested in the show versus people who probably caught that last episode or the last two?
I think everybody I know has been watching it pretty steady.
Because I was like,
everybody's been watching it pretty steady, or you know, they got on their HBO Go and caught up pretty quickly. So,
right.
Just about everybody. Well, see, the funny thing about it is that you would think that they saw every episode, but there were some people I was talking to where I was like, did you miss these important details of the story? You know what I'm saying? Like, for a lot of people, it was almost like a Rorschach test, depending on, like, they would see kind of what they wanted to see.
Yeah, that's
right. That's where I was like, I don't know what show y'all were watching or what part you heard, but that isn't what happened.
Right.
But yeah, no, there was a lot of people who were, you know, all over the place, seemingly.
Right. Yeah.
That lets you know it was good.
Right.
Yeah. If people got that.
They were. Because
people didn't seem to, you know, I'm not on, but people weren't. People love the show. But it's like that particular, the way it ended, that last episode was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my feelings right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the show, turn the podcast off now because it's going to be all levels of spoiling going on. And I actually gave up 4 hours of my life to rewatch the entire season because I wanted to be real clear about my perspective. So first things first, it was hard for me, and honey, you can please chime in here. It was hard for me to separate a lot of my feelings, my personal feelings from this show, because so much of it was a reflection of my own relationship. And let me be clear, Chris and I did not have that kind of breakup or that kind of drama, so y'all don't start thinking shit. Yeah. But we were a couple that were in a long-term relationship in our early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
We did live together for 5 years before we got married. We got our first apartment together, got the furniture, like created a home for ourselves type vibe, and went through the ups and downs of career shifts and career mishaps and so on and so forth.
Casey had to, we had a moment. Casey had to ask the question, which I respect most women who do, like, what are we doing?
So where is this
going? Where is this headed? I get it. I get it.
Yep.
You want to know.
Right.
It's a fair question.
Right. And for me, honestly, like the fact that this show is set like in current times. So mind you, all of this was happening with Chris and I, like the end of the 90s, early 2000s, well, really early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And so just what we were doing in terms of cohabiting. It went against everything that I was raised to do. You don't shack up.
Right.
And I was actually making the choice to shack up. And so that was a hard choice for me. But you wonder after a while, where are we going? And remember, baby, it was like 2 years in. I was like, I don't date anybody past 2 years. Yeah. If we ain't married in 2 years, then I'm out. Deuce. And 2 years came and went because I realized after 2 years I wasn't ready, mm-hmm. but I also wasn't ready to leave the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept going
mm-hmm.
and kept going and kept going until we hit year 5. And there was a lot of life that happened in the fourth year of our relationship that I think had everything to do with why year 5 was the year we decided to move the needle forward. Mm-hmm. But with their relationship, that first episode when she comes home from having celebrated her birthday and he's on the couch like, oh, babe, my bad. I didn't mean, you know, I kind of like, I felt like, oh, I felt so bad for her. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that kind of situation. Maybe he was never that bad. But it was just like, oh, like, you've put some, like, I understood her perspective in the sense that I've put all this time in, you know? And so it was like, either I need to jump ship and start fresh. And like how Molly's always teasing her, like, well, so what you gonna do? I'm going home. I'm breaking up with him tonight. No, you're not. Yeah, I know I'm not. Cause you've put so much time in, you know, this person, you've created a routine, you've created a life. And you want to see it turn into something. And for him, I kind of want to, y'all, like, let's get into it with this situation. So often the arguments I was seeing people have was like, she was the one supporting him financially and everything. He wasn't working for the last 4 years. I really don't think that's true, y'all. Like, I really wish I could ask Issa Rae to confirm this. I really, first of all, let's all be real. How logical is it that any woman, and specifically, I'm just going to speak for myself, black women, who we already have a lot of conversations about how black women are not into keeping men. How many black women do you know would stay with a dude and pay all the bills for 4 years?
A lot, unfortunately.
Really?
A lot of them have.
To me, that's just so terribly unrealistic.
I would think it's...
I don't know any.
Well, I know of quite a few in which, if it did go that long, it would be kind of like the Issa thing, where it's, you know, it would be a lot of kind of trying to justify it and like, well, but this did happen. And then, you know, because they're going to feel guilty about, in a sense, about cutting it off at that point. It's harder. I think it's probably a lot harder to break up with someone when you've been with them that long. But
yeah. But we're talking full on unemployment.
He, as far as I understood in the show, he was getting unemployment checks, so he was contributing something, but he probably wasn't contributing the majority or as equally. So in that sense, he's probably paying the utilities, but Issa's paying the rent and the everything else,
right?
Which in that case, you may be able to translate into, I'm supporting him because I'm paying more than what, you know, than he can contribute. Yeah. So I'm doing the majority of the contributing. Because
we're assuming that they've been together 4 years.
Five years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like, if in like the first year he lose a job and then ain't working, she's probably like, most people gonna probably leave. Most people. Most women, I think, would be like, okay.
After a while.
My thought was, he's been working off and on. Could you get that with, you know, the job? And he's smart enough to have a job. He doesn't come off the type like, I'm just chilling.
Right, at the house playing video games.
It seemed like he went the entrepreneurial route and wanted to do his app. But like most businesses, you try to start for yourself. It's difficult. He got frustrated. When we catch them, my thought is we're catching them at a period of time where he's in a lull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, maybe he's been working the last 3 years. This last year he hasn't been. Mm-hmm. And he's just in a... We catch him when he's like at the bottom.
Right.
Like, I don't think this is a reflection of their whole relationship. I'm just assuming it's stale.
Right. And that's what I inferred too from the conversation they have. When she tells him, you've been trying to get it together for the last 4 years. I didn't take that as meaning he was full on unemployed those last 4 years. I think maybe he's been trying to get this app off the ground that entire time. Right. And then when he meets with the headhunter and the headhunter says to him, well, you've only been job hunting for the last, or you've only been interviewing for the last 2 weeks. So we know he's been actively looking for a job for the last 2 weeks. But she says, you know, the main questions the employers are having are about your gaps in employment. So he has definitely worked, but maybe there's either a challenge with him being able to maintain a job, right, or he gets frustrated and he starts thinking, shit, I should be doing my app. Fuck it, I'm going to leave this job.
Right.
And, you know, and takes these times off to try to build it up, and then it works or it doesn't work. And then, you know, he goes back to another job. Right. So like Chris was saying, I kind of wanted to get that out the way, because so many of the arguments I was seeing was people saying like, she's been supporting him full on for 4 years. And I'm like, I don't think... One, I just don't think it's realistic that any woman would just have a man in the house for 4 years doing absolutely nothing.
I mean, you
can't even get that much unemployment.
Well, you would have to have earned it. You will say that now that
I don't know women like that.
Now that women are becoming the breadwinners, you have to expect that men are going to react to that. And be like, oh, you want to be the breadwinner? Okay. Does that mean I get to be the one to be at home and chilling? You know, because this is what you do. If I'm, you know, if it's the other way around, it's like, oh, she at home.
But not really, because just because one party is winning the bread doesn't mean that the other party doesn't work.
It's acceptable when it comes to when the male is the one bringing in the bread. I think it's more like you don't have like you see men and women when the woman's working and that situation about he ain't working. Mm-hmm. You have both men and women pissed off at him. Like, oh, it's both of them are saying it's not acceptable. The role reversal, which has been what it has been, it's just like, well, that's how it was. That's okay.
Well, if a woman doesn't work, it's expected that we still operate under a social construct that the man is supposed to be the one to bring home most of the money. But we also are living in a time period where we know, one, you need two people to be employed for a household to really function.
Right. Especially in L.A.
Especially in this city. Yeah. Right. It's, I mean, you want that kind of lifestyle. You need to go down south or somewhere where the cost of living is a lot cheaper.
Right. Real quickly, the way that I saw it largely was that he was trying to start this app. Apparently, he's fairly well educated. I've experienced what Lawrence did where I was, you know, in a long period of unemployment. But with him, it seemed like he spent at least a good chunk of that 5 years or 4 years or whatever working on that app. So he was unemployed because he was focusing on this thing that he was going to do. Mm-hmm. Then that didn't pan out, mm-hmm. and he never really quite made a plan B. Right. So then every place else that he interviews at, oh, they're only going to pay me this much, and I'm supposed to get paid this. And
right.
What she's saying and what most people were saying is like, dog, get a job.
Right.
Just get a job. Like, right. Stop. You want things to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. And then you're going to keep yourself unemployed. And if you are unemployed for a long period of time, as I can attest to, mm-hmm. it starts making you go back and forth between feeling insecure and feeling like, no, I'm trying to get my stuff together because I can't even get to this step without getting something that's going to get me jump started.
Right.
So, I didn't take it as that he was being completely lazy, but you know, the whole not doing the birthday thing, you know, that you're neglecting the relationship right. and what else you should be doing. You got to get your head back in the game.
Right. Cause that definitely set the stage for dude is not doing what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And you see dissatisfaction from both sides.
Right.
And it's almost like it took her not coming home at night for him to realize, oh shit, I am going to like, I am taking one, I'm taking this woman for granted and this relationship for granted. Two, I need to really like, figure some shit out before not only am I asked out of a job, I'm asked out of a relationship.
Yeah, because it's funny because she mentions it before she goes out. He's like, oh, you going out? Like, she done up.
Yeah.
And she says what she says and kind of like,
spend a night maybe we
need to just end this or on that line. Not saying she's going to end it.
But we should figure our own. We right. should figure our shit out.
Maybe we should own. Be. Yeah. And he's like, wait. Are you trying to break up? And then it's just left like that.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves it completely open.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when she sees that, all right, what, CVS? Mm-hmm. Like, second episode, and they almost have like a damn argument in CVS.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, like, you know, you can go two ways. We can either be like, you know what, this ain't working. Fuck it. And or he did what he did was like, you know what, I want this. And if I really want this, let me do what I need to do because, you know, you ain't doing nothing. And then you forget your girl birthday.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you had to really think about. Yeah.
Right. like if there was the moment for her to end the relationship, that moment that was perfect. Mm-hmm.
That was it.
That moment was perfect.
That's why a lot of us were like, you kind of like, oh, damn. And then you go to see this dude. Right. And you're like, well, shit.
And see, that's what's interesting about it, is that you're asking what kind of black woman would stick with, or woman period, but black woman would stick with a dude like that. And the very fact that she still stuck with him through that, I feel like the projection was that he was using her, that there was some kind of abuse going on. That's why she wasn't saying we're breaking up. That's why she didn't completely stand her ground, partly because she had invested so much time. But then the other part was he must have some kind of manipulation going on somewhere to where it's going that long. And I've told plenty of girls that there have been times where they've been really, you know, mentally out of the relationship or they're unhappy. And I'm like, well, then you need to break up with them. Well, that's not that easy to do. I understand it's not that easy to do, but there's no other answer. And that was the interesting part about the way that I got into certain discussions with, and the majority of women, as we're getting to, cited that Issa was the one who really was the one that fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's kind of the thing, is when the responsibility is on you and you know that you're unhappy, then you have to be the one to take that control.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's not what I meant entirely about sticking with somebody in that sort of situation. Like, that for me was specifically the idea of somebody absolutely not doing anything for 4 years as far as bringing money into the house. I personally don't know too many women who would stay in a relationship with a man who could not work.
You don't know, have never heard of, maybe you've heard of women who were dickmatized.
No, I'm
and then they were like, oh, I should break up with him, but...
For 4 years of doing absolutely nothing?
Some people...
Like,
if we're living
in a house together and we've been in a relationship for 5 years, mm-hmm. and 4 of those years, especially now in the day and age of Ubering, Lyfting, Postmating, Instacarting, like all these jobs you can just create for yourself and set your own schedule type. If you have a bicycle, you can.
That's true.
You got a skateboard, you can get some work. Like, 4 years of you like, I just am doing nothing. I ain't brought in nothing. Nah, I can't think of anybody that would.
But listen, there are people out there that are doing it. That's why there were so many, I think, reactions to it, because at least once a girl found themselves in that situation thinking, oh, he'll pull through.
Not for that long.
Yo, it may not have been a consistent 4 years, but right. It was a back and forth breakup, makeup thing, mm-hmm. something like that. But yeah, when she said 4 years, I looked at the screen like, well, what are you doing? Because I was like, really?
Right. Because I would think if that's one situation. If like a guy, if he has done nothing, all he do, you come in, leave, everything you do, he in the same spot,
right,
and bring in zero money,
right.
You know, at least he bringing unemployment, which means he did work. He ain't bringing in zero money. You know, he got some money. I even heard somebody mention on another podcast that I guess when they showed him in his car, he was in a Jag. I don't remember that.
I gotta look at that part.
I was like, I don't think so. But, you know, like, okay, nothing? Like, yeah, then right. I would be like, what's wrong with you? Because it's right. like, well, who's to blame? The person right. who ain't doing shit, or the person who's allowing the person yeah. to not do
right.
shit?
No, you're enabling that.
The reality is that she just wasn't happy in the relationship, period. I mean, right. she even said, like, she wasn't getting sex like she wanted. He wasn't really doing anything. He didn't seem motivated. Whatever it was, it was all areas, but a lot of people focused more on him being unemployed. That was kind of the biggest straw of it,
right.
in a sense. But the fact is that she just wasn't happy.
Right.
Period.
And the thing is, this is the part where the story, and this is where I was getting into it with a couple of sister friends about it. And I had one, she's like, you was talking about how relationships have work. Like, why do we have to work when, you know, if somebody messed up, all you got to do is swipe left, swipe right nowadays. You ain't got to deal with the work. And I said, well, this is because this is the point that I made. I said, to me, out of all the characters, Lawrence is the one character who showcases to us an understanding of the work that is a part of relationships. And the funny thing is, after going back and rewatching, I have to say it's Lawrence and Issa that understand there is work in relationships, mm-hmm. because it's not going to always be a peak. You know what I'm saying? That at any given time, you or your partner can fall from a peak into a valley. And if at every moment you are in a valley, or one of you is in a valley, that you decide to jump ship, there will never be any long-term relationships. They just never, they'll never be that way. Yep. So it's like the expectation, and I think I can say this because of how long Chris and I have been together. If the expectation for you in a relationship that every day is going to have the same level of happiness and joy and goodness and light and sunshine every single day, you won't ever be in a long-term relationship. Yep. I think you can have that kind of experience and have it even last that long for probably a good, you might have a good couple year run. Mm-hmm. But life happens. When death occurs, when job loss occurs, yep, when money shift happens, mm-hmm, when accidents happen, when your mood switches up, when hormones start changing, when somebody loses weight, when somebody gains weight, all different things can happen into your life, in your relationship, where you're not going to like the person you with every time, all the time, at every given time. Y'all are not going to be on the same page every day, all day, for years and years and years and years, yeah, and years and years and years. It's just not even realistic that way.
People who think that, I'll be like, okay, name me a period in your life where for like a good 2-3 years, every single moment of your life was awesome.
Right.
I was like, he could be awesome. You could come home and have a shitty day at work and be like, I don't feel like dealing with you. I just need to decompress because I'm pissed off at whatever happened at my job. He could be like, oh, word? Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, you know, why are you getting, you know, like, you don't know. So some of my people who are like that, I was like, look at your own damn life. Like, what relationship do you have in your life where it's always good? You even had a relationship with God. Because even sometimes with God, you just like, dude, really? This is what you threw at me today?
Right.
This is what I'm dealing with. All right. You know what? Right. I'm going to roll with it.
Really?
Right. Right. You know, right? I'm going to roll with you because that's what I'm going to do. I believe in you. But why the fuck did you throw this at me?
Right.
I get this. Yeah. But because that's life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I had to keep going into, like, with people is like, low key, I think women wonder why a lot of men avoid relationships, and it's because, at least for me, in a large sense, I got to know that it's going to be worth it,
mm-hmm,
to spend, mm-hmm, that much time being that vulnerable to anything and investing and going all the way. And there's a lot of dudes that I think don't quite know what they're missing out on having a long-term relationship, but they just know that it's probably, they just convince themselves to be cynical and that it's, you know, can't happen.
Right.
But no, a lot of people are like, why should I have to? Because you do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you do it for someone you want to do it for.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think what we witness with them, and something that I know that we experience, is that when you get into a long-term relationship, it's a deliberate choice. Mm-hmm. So in that moment where Issa decides he disappointed me for my birthday, he's not doing what he needs to do as far as his career is concerned, we're not having the sex that I wish we were having, but I'm not going home tonight to actually end this relationship. It is a choice. It's a choice. When he,
period.
Right.
Period.
When he sees her in the CVS buying panties because she knows she's not coming home, and he still goes home with the anticipation that one day she will come home so they can talk it out, it is a choice.
Right.
And that is the process of, mm-hmm, a long-term relationship. It is a day-by-day, mm-hmm, choice, because some days are going to be blissfully easy and breezy, and there are going to be some days that are hella, hella challenging, and you make the choice to stay in it or either to get out of it. And I think for some people, the longer they're in it, the more challenging it is for them to get out of it. But then on the flip, sometimes the longer you're in it, the easier it is to decide, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Right.
It just depends on where you are.
Yeah.
And so I think that was such a realistic, mm-hmm, depiction of what long-term relationships look like. And I think it's an interesting antithetical juxtaposition to the character that is Molly, mm-hmm, and how she gets down in her relationships. Can we talk about Molly for a second?
Yeah, like, can we jump back on this?
Yeah, because we feel like we got to go talk about all these different characters. Molly is so interesting because she, for me, is a new black woman prototype. Not necessarily new to us, but new as far as a depiction is concerned. Because so often at this table, we've had conversations about relationships and the idea of the independent black woman, right? The black woman who is well-educated, has a very good job, makes good money, and for all intents and purposes, does not need a man to take care of her needs. Right. For her, the idea of a relationship or a marriage is not a business proposition. She's not looking for the man who is the breadwinner, so to speak, mm-hmm. because she wins her own bread. Yeah, she's looking for a companion. Right. She wants the partner who complements what she's already doing.
Mm-hmm.
But so often at this table, we often have had conversations about how there is a challenge, or there have been challenges with men and women in those circumstances trying to get together. And I always say at times, I'm grateful that Chris and I got together when we were both young and didn't have anything, because it gave us the opportunity to build up versus having something and looking for somebody who can match where you are, or at least meet where you are. It seems to be a much more difficult way mm-hmm. of partnering. And we see Molly try so many different things. You know, first we start with the character of Jared, who she meets at a place that she ordinarily would not go to, which was Maverick's flat, which some reason put Maverick's in Inglewood. They kept referring to it as being in Inglewood. And I'm like, y'all just right here. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of stuff. Aren't they supposed to technically be they apartments and then Pasadena or something?
No, the apartment is in Inglewood, but they kept making it look like it was the J's.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would it go was, through the J's. It?
But that apartment, that actual building is in Inglewood.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then when they shot like whenever they shot like that,
it was right up on
right.
When they shot the neighborhood and all them areas, that was all like, oh, that's the J's.
Right, you like y'all off of Nicolette and Coco.
right.
But so you know, Molly's meeting Jared, and I found it interesting that she meets Jared at this spot. And what it made me think of was, oh, Mavericks is supposed to be like the Savoy. Right. Yeah. Because in L.A., if you're not from L.A., L.A. has, you know, you got your different groups of black people. Right. So you got your black folks that only do West Side or only do downtown when it comes to socializing, or only do Hollywood.
Right.
Then you got a group of black folks that'll go a little deeper south into the community, and they go to Inglewood, and there's a spot down there called the Savoy, which has had a fairly popular following. I know they have. They used to have. I think Savoy's closed right now, but because they had a shooting. Well, I mean, there you go. But they used to have like Taco Tuesdays and, you know, a pretty popular following crowd.
But that would be the spot. The way they were describing it was like, oh, this hood fun club, that's where we going.
Right.
Exactly. But L.A. has also...
Your middle school gangster tell you about the spot?
Right. L.A., black L.A. is very classist. You have your educated, bougie set. And you have your more hood sect, and the two don't really socialize together. You know, everybody pretty much knows each other, but as far as where you choose to party, people choose to party a lot by class.
Yeah.
And so to me, Mavericks was supposed to be like the Savoy, like the Savoy Taco Tuesday, whatever popping spot. And that's why Molly's like, why are we here? Like, why did you come here? And we find out, of course, Issa has ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
But Molly meets Jared. And so to me, it was very interesting. She's attracted to him because, like many L.A. hood dudes, he's fine. And he's in the spot. L.A. got a lot of fine people. It don't really matter where you are on the class spectrum. It's a city of pretty people. And so she thinks he's fine. They kick it. When she brings him to the Wes Adams house party with her homies.
Right.
And her homies, as we learn real quick, this is the bougie black set. You got the married couple, which, ooh, I got so many questions about that couple.
When we get to that one,
yeah.
You get to the friends.
Right. You got the heavy set homegirl who likes to drink and joke on herself a lot. Who else was there? You got Issa. And then Molly comes with oh boy, and then they start having the usual black conversation about black men going to college and feeling extra special, about funny. Being Greek, all that sort of stuff.
That
and
was a great conversation.
Right. And the automatic assumption, because brother comes in with Molly, is that he's college educated. So the question isn't, have you gone to college? The question is, did you go to college in L.A.?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you go to college?
Because, yeah. Of course, you wouldn't be here if you didn't.
Right. Obviously, you kicking right. with us, you went to college.
Right.
And when his response was, oh, I didn't go to college.
And just kind of like, yeah, I didn't go to college.
Yeah, real nonchalant with it. And somebody actually was like, oh, that's what's up. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was like his way of not, I'm not trying to clown you, but it's clearly everybody yeah, quiet. Awkward,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Let me just be like, oh, okay.
Right. And for Molly being who she is.
That was automatic turn off.
Her insecurity. Well, the thing is, after they leave the party, he pushes up on her, like, and she accepts it.
Because his response was great. Because it's like a minute ago, he's listening, you shitting on brothers who got degrees.
Right.
And then I say, I don't have one. Y'all like, oh, now you change. Wait. So you shit on these dudes who have it. I don't have one, but now you turn your nose up at me.
Right.
That's so worse.
But then he was
it's
like,
one
oh.
thing to be shitty with a degree, but it's worse to be a dude without a degree.
Exactly.
Whether or not you're shitty.
Exactly.
Right. It was like, damn. But then his comeback, like, oh, maybe I just wasn't tripping on girls.
Right. So obviously, I'm missing all these opportunities to get my dick sucked.
I was like, ooh. Great comeback.
Yeah. He's quick, he's funny, he's attractive, but her insecurity won't allow her at first to deal with the fact that he's not college educated and working for Enterprise, right? And then she tries again with him.
After she get burned a couple times.
Right, after she
now,
tries.
We didn't bring up her dating site.
And Brandon Bell, shout out to Brandon Bell.
The dude who was fronting like he was smart. And all educated, like the one dude she met on the app, because first they showed a little montage of her meeting all these dudes, like the Hotep nigga.
And
all that. And then she meets a guy and it's like, oh, it's great. And he's talking all this, you know, proper language. And then,
oh, the one she goes to the wine. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That made me think of you, Johan, saying the conversation.
What?
No, not you as far as your character.
Me? Yeah.
But the conversations that we've had where you've shared, there are brothers who will do that kind of ignorant shit.
There's like, greasy niggas out there. There's greasy niggas that are trying to be straight up, I'm trying to do this.
Right.
And then there's greasy niggas where it's like, yo, dog, like, you couldn't find it. Like, it looked like he had smoothed it out.
Right.
And then you go...
It's like, brother,
it's like, really?
The door was open.
Right.
The door was open. Yeah.
You was almost there. Just
right. And it's like... Yeah,
that was just dumb.
So yeah, she finally got on to her, you know, which I found out was a real dating site or app.
Oh, what, the league?
No, the league. Yeah, I've heard you say the league that is real.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's the one she starts looking for the dudes that been vetted,
right? So yeah, she got with the homie. Yeah, you said Brandon Bell.
She got with Brandon Bell,
and then that
who was the doctor,
right?
And with him, she was wanting him to check in when he got in, and he was just like, "Yeah, okay." So that she moved too fast with the checking in.
Then it was Jadena,
right?
Who at first she was just sitting there like, oh, "Why am I here?" And then it finally clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she's pushing.
She's way too pushy.
You know, like, hey.
And not taking the cues.
Right. He's like, okay, you know, I don't know if I can, but, you know, okay. Well, you know, it's my blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay.
Okay. Right.
And then when he tries to throw her a bone at the party, and not to mention, she's already feeling some kind of way because here's her Asian coworker getting booed up to a black man.
Black and yellow. That was funny.
That black and yellow. Yeah. She, you know, when he tries to throw her a bone and, like, he tells her, I felt like you needed a win.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a sock to the jaw type situation for her.
Yeah. One thing I felt her in the sense that he just kind of came out of nowhere and just brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her was like, yo, this is my coworker. So you saying this now, I got to answer these questions. The next day at work.
Right.
Right. But it was like, yo, you kept saying like, yo, I need you to come. I really need you to come all the time. So he's like, yeah, I got him. I totally got his point. Right. The introducing himself as her boyfriend, I was like, yeah, you probably didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But he could have just showed up and was like, hey, and then let her, if she, whatever label she want put on it. let her do that. But I'm not going to be the one to be like, yeah, I'm her dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm not.
Although she did seem to kind of light up halfway, like, well, you know.
Right, and then he was like, yeah, not really, though. She's like, oh, so you want to be my man?
Yeah, well, hold on.
Right. He's like, I thought we understood
that this is an assist.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll continue that a little bit later, but this is an assist.
Right.
Now we can continue on our own thing, but, you know.
And the thing is, that was another opportunity for a later conversation. Like, the fact that it ended abruptly right there, I was like, God, I want her communication to be so much better in regards to how she expresses herself when she's dealing with guys. Like, even if she didn't like what he did in that moment, it's like, you ain't got to just tell the brother, I need you to leave right now. Like, okay, I get what you were doing. Here's why this was uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then see where it goes. Because it doesn't come off that he's not. Here's my thing. If he didn't like her in general, he wouldn't have done it.
He wouldn't have come at all.
I agree. So it was like, you know, just see where that goes. But then when we get back to Jared,
after she got in the league and was kind of like, we can still be friends.
Right.
When she gave him that line and he's like, oh, okay.
Right. But after she started dating all the high end dudes and stuff doesn't pan out. So when she goes back to Jared, let's talk real quick though about the double standard that we have when it comes to men and women and any homoerotic experiences. So they're having this conversation where she shares that she has had a homoerotic experience in college. And then he says, oh, when I was about 20, I had a similar situation as you.
Right.
And from that moment on, he's gay to her. And the conversation that ensues with she and her girlfriends and the full figure chick, Kelly, who's like, so a man can be straight. And then the moment he has one gay experience, he's instantly gay. So straight, gay. Yes. What is up with that?
I mean, it's real quick. It's interesting because actually some other guy said that he was kind of at least annoyed by how much everybody was writing think pieces based around Lawrence and Issa and that ending, and nobody seemed to ever address that or that situation or a few other things like counseling and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I've heard that for a long time that a lot of women were like, oh no, girls can be bisexual, but guys, they're not bi, they're gay.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I don't know if you can really determine that, but, you know, somehow people must have this impression that, you know, once you, you know, open the door, you can't go back out of it or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it definitely was what the insecurity around that seems to really be around is largely, and I can't say that it doesn't exist because I know of, you know, various, you know, history of this whole thing, like it probably coming up since around the 90s when they're talking about dudes that were on the down low.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that they might have been gay or bi, but they were essentially in the closet. But then some of them seemingly were purposely not admitting it because they were just trying to kind of be like a sexual deviant or something.
Right. And assimilate into a straight paradigm, heterosexual paradigm.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that makes Molly homophobic or if it makes it to where she's just has this idea that whoever she meets has to be top to bottom perfect and never have anything in their past or their history that she can worry about. But then it was also kind of like, yo, it wasn't really any of your damn business to tell people.
Right.
You know, so you're trying to tell people because of how you feel. And when it comes down to it, it has nothing to do with him. It just has to do with whether or not it may come out in a conversation or something, I don't know.
Right.
But even if it did come out in a conversation, yeah, you need to check yourself and see how you feel about it.
Right.
Because that's his life.
Right.
So, yeah. Now.
It was weird because I know the discussion was all of them telling basically they worst dirt to each other. Like, the shit you did that was real fucked up that you probably like, or you know, you're not having these conversations with everybody. Like, maybe Issa knows some of this stuff about you.
Right.
Maybe she don't.
Yeah,
but y'all just like, hey, let's just share the war stories.
Right.
And it was like, okay, he admitted it. I mean, he was kind of like, yo, I had the moment. As soon as I did it, I realized I don't want to do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of it is men, too, because men feel that way. Yeah. A lot of men are like, yo, we put it that like you can't, once you've gone there, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like now you cross the line. You can't come back over here now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got right. You got an A on you or something. Like you marked. Whereas we make it like men, the way we portray it, mm-hmm. the way it's portrayed, especially in the damn hip hop community, we want our women to be bi.
Yeah.
Like that's what we want. We put it in songs too much. I mean, put it where it's just like, hey, bring your girl. Maybe right. you and your girl start kissing. Yeah, and like, right. oh, like, wow, okay.
Right.
But
it's expected.
Right. It's kind of like, oh, you open a word? It's like, oh, shit. Nigga, damn, my girl, she down with that? When?
Right.
You know, but it was like.
Interestingly, it doesn't go the other way around. It doesn't. Right. Even though I know of girls that have said that they've had fantasies of two dudes or whatever, but it's never. There's an apprehension to actually admit whether or not they even want that in their life.
Right. Right. You can hear. Women like men will be like, yeah, I like two women kissing. Women seem to be cool with it. Other way around, I'm like, you don't hear women like, you know what turned me on? Two dudes kissing.
Right.
You don't hear that at all.
Ever. Right.
And she,
I've heard it sometimes, but very rarely. Yeah. But you know, there's some folks that you know they hiding.
Yeah. What I had hoped Jared would have done, which, you know, I get why he didn't. I wanted him to grill her, throw it back at her, to be like, oh, so you, are you still fucking women? You still into women, right? Like, yeah. Is that, of course, now you putting it on me that I'm still, basically, I'm gay.
Right.
Are you bi? You be doing women? Is that what you into? And she could probably have been like, nah, I'm not. It was just a one time. Oh, so when it's a one time thing for you.
Right.
But for me, it can't be like, and he said it like, look, immediately, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. yeah, I left it and that's it. And I ain't going back and I don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this nigga, we've been just seeing y'all fuck. Mm-hmm. I figure, you know what? Maybe both of y'all just freaky like that. And I was like, y'all could just spin it like that.
Basically.
Yeah, I was like, y'all nasty. Okay. Fucking, you talking about, y'all talking about Brute Apron. Why you fucking? Like, okay, whatever. But it is. It's a problem. It's something that people don't want to address. Like, it should have been going on forever. But, you know, it's that funny thing. We don't, when it's talked in the church, right. It's not really, it's not thought about as two women at all.
No.
Whenever you talk about side, all that, it's, you think of it as two men
mm-hmm.
doing it. So, of course, that's another layer of it's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she told her friends, I was like, that's fucked up because now he can't never come back and hang around y'all because your friend, your bougie ass friend, gonna be like, oh, you like, she's gonna bring
like
it up.
Gay.
But when it was like, the funny thing is, we're talking about that couple. I heard a number of people who were like, when they first saw that couple, mm-hmm. they thought that was her gay friend.
Yeah, I definitely thought that the husband was the most effeminate man out of the entire cast
of males
of the men.
And
yeah.
And you saw when they brought it up to her, she quickly shot it down.
He would never do that.
Right. Which means something's there. Either it's been brought up to you. Somebody has asked if your man is gay. Something. Yeah. Because you don't just be like, oh, no, he ain't going to do it. But we're just playing like, no, he wouldn't do that. Like,
she was too quick.
Yeah, she was too quick. And like, I don't even want to broach the subject. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, something's there.
Right. Yeah, I honestly would like to see whether or not they choose to explore that couple in seasons to come. Only because being the only couple amongst a group of single friends and them all being in their late 20s, they have to have had it. I'd like to know how long they've been married mm-hmm. and then like what is their experience like? Because I agree with you. To me, there's something there and there's a reason why they put those two characters mm-hmm. together to be the married couple because they do have really unique personalities. But yeah, like your friend said, Merc, I wanted to know, like, that's such a fascinating double standard. Mm-hmm. Such a fascinating double standard. And it is one that definitely exists. Okay, can we talk about Tasha the Bank Teller?
Yes, we can.
Who I honestly feel brothers love Tasha right now. Sisters hate Tasha right now. And I feel bad for Tasha. I don't pity her. I don't mm-hmm. feel bad for her like that. But I feel bad for that character and the way that she's kind of being dragged right now for right. how the finale ended. Because to me, her character is so real, so normal.
Yeah.
This is somebody who Lawrence sees when he goes to the bank. And we recognize that they have some sort of connection because when he goes to the bank, he waits to go to her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's standing in line.
He lets the other women go first.
First, so he could go to her.
Right, which happens.
Right.
People do that.
I do. Right. I've done it.
Right, you got your favorite people.
Right.
You know, and every now and again, those people might do something a little extra to make the transaction easier or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do recognize that is for him, in moments of feeling down, she's definitely the somebody who's the ego booster. Mm-hmm. You know, because what's her first thing? Look at you coming up in here looking like Obama. Which right, he don't right. look nothing right. like nobody's Obama right. in that moment.
Right.
But that's...
Brother in a, coming in a suit.
Right.
Dressed.
Right. You know, and she got a little cleavage popping. She's right. cute. You know,
I was
and so.
Like, oh, at the bank?
Right. Like,
at the bank.
Right. At the Broadway Federal on.
Right.
On what street? Is that on Venice?
Yeah, yeah, Broadway Federal on Venice. Black owned. Black owned.
Yeah.
But she's giving him positive mm-hmm. ego boosting energy, which in this moment when he's feeling low is needed. And this is something that I feel like I need to say. And honey, I know you will very like after our 17 years of being together, you will hella co-sign. People, if you are in a long-term relationship, it is okay to get your ego boosted by somebody of the opposite sex. You are not cheating.
Yeah.
You are not betraying your spouse. In fact, it will make you a nicer person when you get home to be appreciated by somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, none of us are dead. The person who you are with for the long term is going to appreciate you. That's kind of built into their job description.
Mm-hmm.
But in just the fact that we are human beings, you don't only want to be appreciated by just one person on this earth.
True.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We get up every day and put ourselves together. And yes, we do this for ourselves because it makes yeah, us feel good because yeah. we've had this conversation before. But it does not hurt for somebody else to notice that you made the extra effort. It just doesn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, because I've had some tidbits of conversation where people were uncomfortable with that. And I'm like, you know, people flirt. Get over it. You're not going to be with the person who you're in a long-term relationship with 24 hours a day.
Right.
And we're not at the point, thank God, Black Mirror, don't make it happen, right. where you can just surveil the person who you're with by your, you know, through your phone
oh,
when they're not with you. We know this is coming.
Yeah. Right. We know some
where you were at all day, your tracker says
right.
you were at the bank
right.
in 15 minutes.
Right. I'm watching. I got the camera on. I see right. where you at. I see you smiling at Tasha the bank. Like, you yeah. know what I'm saying? We're not at that point. You're not going to be able to be with that person 24 hours a day to try to monitor their mind and their experiences. So if you're going to get into a long-term relationship, you might as well trust mm. until you are given reason not to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so in that situation where she's, you know, being flirty, but and he's receiving it, mm. but he's also not...
He's not reciprocating it all the way
he's
back.
He's not yet. Reciprocating it, just, nor is he encouraging it. He's honestly just receiving it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
He's receiving it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she likes him.
Yeah, we could tell. You tell she was like, him. Oh, she like him.
Yeah,
and people, you know, I was like, do y'all like so many people really want when somebody just flirt with you and be like, oh, hey, what's up? You cute. I got a woman. Leave me alone. Like, what the fuck? Like, get away from yeah, me then. All right. Like, you see this ring? I'm like, dude, calm,
right.
yeah. calm down. I just said you look nice in the motherfucker suit. I didn't come out and say I want to jump your bones.
And in the right. moment where she does cross the line.
Yeah, because now people.
He completely.
He shut it down.
Shuts it down.
Right.
It
and, down. And a lot of dudes are naive to that. You ain't, look, we don't. We,
speak on
yeah,
it.
We don't have that. Like, we're not thrown pussy whenever. We're not.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a ball player. I don't have money. Those niggas, Shamar or the Shamar Moore niggas, probably the Max. All you know, like that. Yeah, but most guys, no. But from what I hear from women, all I got to say is, I would like some dick today. And you got 30 motherfuckers who are like, here.
Right.
You can have it right here. Take it right now. Take it right now. Like, we don't.
It is a very different
experience. Yeah, we don't have that. So right. Even when she's at, when they're sitting, when I don't know how she found him at the job when he's eating lunch.
Yeah.
Even then where she says something, he's like, oh yeah, my girl like that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned it.
Right.
So she knew.
Right. So she kind of knew. But look, I don't have a problem with somebody who, especially if you're not married, for a person to shoot their shot. She's just like, you know what? I like him. I'm going to try.
Right.
Because what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm taken. I can't. No, thank you.
She right. went for it. And yeah. she got it.
Right. At the end of the day.
And she got it.
Right. But you know, when she came, I was like, wow. Like, she's right. really like.
She really went for it.
For it. But I was at the end, I was like, I'm not mad because, hey, I mean, you, look, he ain't married.
Right.
He not.
Right.
You don't know.
I think it was clear enough, for one, that there was something that maybe she was sensing that he wasn't happy about, whether it was himself or his relationship too, right. or whatever. But there was something that he was, that when you find that a person is in a state of being kind of unhappy, you can find that as an opportunity to kind of swoop in
right.
and change their mind. But the other part of it was like, you know, I had to remind people about, in a sense, the timeline of the very last episode where, you know, you don't see Tasha for about 4 or 5 or so episodes. Mm-hmm. And the timeline is he's at the strip club with his homies. He calls Issa. He goes back to the old apartment. And essentially, he's getting his stuff. So whenever he called Tasha, it must have been at least at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
So everybody, there have been a lot of girls that were like, oh, you know, Tasha's just a rebound girl. And then she's going to probably get her heart broken and this. And I'm like, yo, did it ever occur to you that maybe Tasha was going kind of hard because she just wanted to fuck too? Like, she answered the phone at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and he comes over and he's smashing and dashing. Like, right. So it almost seemed like she had to have liked him in such a way that she was trying to be with him because she's doing all these things. Whereas it's like, maybe she was just trying to get some.
Right.
You know, and that's what she wanted. And, you know, even though it was the person in a relationship, that's what she wanted. And that happens all the time, too, regardless of whether, you know, they got a college education or not. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people were also kind of digging at her at that they felt like she was, you know, kind of basic in a sense.
Little,
not the, you know, the same as Issa and all that stuff. They were trying to really...
Not as sophisticated. Yeah,
they were trying to stand for Issa, Issa's character.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, but that's another quick thing is that it's interesting because Molly and Issa, kind of this wave of a lot of comedies and things that are coming out with women writers have women that have some sort of like tragic flaw, you know, so it happened with Girls, it happened in Trainwreck, it's happening with Insecure, that in order for, I think, and understandably so, that for women characters to be fully fleshed out, just like male characters, they have to have a flaw. Mm-hmm. And at some point you end up disliking the two main characters, but you don't dislike them enough to where you don't want to see them win.
Right.
So when everybody keeps talking about Tasha, they think that we siding with Tasha like we don't give a damn about Issa at all.
No, we
clearly see that Issa feels bad about what she did or what happened, but she got to take the L because she made bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Decision making is not her forte in the whole show. And you get kind of annoyed with her with that.
Right.
Yeah. But
that's part of her the title with the Insecure. You just want she has a problem just being like sticking 10 toes in the ground and be like, you know what? I'm just going to say what I need to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you wanted to when she wanted what's brother's name?
Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be like, look, if you don't want, because when it got to the point where Lawrence was like, I fucked up. I want to make this work. I'm here.
I'm in this.
And you were kind of, and when she responded and said, I'm in it too, you were like, are you really in it? Because you got from him that he was like, look, I'm owning it.
Right.
I was wrong. I fucked up. I wasn't trying. I wasn't putting enough of the work in that I should have.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
Right.
And I want to do better, you know, and I'm here.
Right.
And you felt like, well, are you like, yeah.
Right.
If you want to be like, look, if you don't want to be with this dude, say it. Because people act like, look, there's no nice way to break up with somebody.
Nope.
Right.
But what do you do? Like, do you just, I'm going to just stay with it? Because eventually you just, look, rip the Band-Aid off.
You got to do it. It's not easy, but you got
to
do it.
Right. If that's really what you want, if what you want is not to be in the relationship, then you do need to just make the choice to get out of it.
Right. And this, you wanted a relationship, right?
Yeah,
this is unfortunately, sometimes the part of it, like
what I found a lot of people were reading into, in a sense too, was there was a lot of people that were interpreting it as, and I think really they were again projecting it because there have been so many different translations of it that they were like, oh no, she basically kind of sabotaged the relationship kind of on purpose or subconsciously because all the things that she had been unhappy with still rolled over. And I'm like, okay, but you saw the whole point with that whole couch montage or whatever that she was like, oh, no, I can't let this go. I'm here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Daniel situation happened. She didn't want to be honest with herself about it then. Mm-hmm. So she just kept burying it for longer and longer till then it just came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we understand the complexity of her insecurity and why she didn't do those things. That's why we're rooting for her.
Right.
But just because I say that she's taking the L doesn't mean that I don't want to see her win, but she got to take the L.
Yeah. Right.
I
mean, yeah, when we compare the two situations, Lawrence and Tasha, we can easily see how this was a situation that was started off, I believe, from a very innocent place. Like Chris said, she was, you know, trying her hand at the point where she was really trying to cross the line, Lawrence shut it down. Right. And it wasn't until he decided after going home and realizing, damn, I'm in the house with the woman who straight cheated on me. I can't fucking take this shit. I need to get shit out my system. Call Tasha. She answered the phone and bam, that went down how it went down. With Issa, she has a history with Daniel. This is a very different situation.
She's known Daniel for a minute.
Right. And she knows that they have this affinity for each other. She knows that they have an attraction to each other. She knows that he is feeling her.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The fact that he hit her up on her birthday, and it just so happens, you know, that when he do that, it goes against the fact that Lawrence ain't doing shit.
Right.
So for her, it's fulfilling
Let me go to where he at.
Right. It's fulfilling what she's not getting. Right. But she does purposefully put herself in a position to run into him, to reconnect, to rekindle. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when he ends up coming to the job, which that kind of happened, it seemed to be a bit of a mishap, but one she could have avoided if she didn't want to be around him.
Yeah, and that part was annoying because you're like, we'll get into it when it's fucked up because you would think like she could have been like, you know what, when Daniel hit her up on her birthday, the first episode, and was like, and Lawrence didn't do shit for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been like, you know what? We need to take a break.
Right.
And then went, got some Daniel penis. But you know, it was almost, I think what she wanted was that. She wasn't sure.
Right.
She got the kiss
she wanted it, and then when she met up with him and was like, I can't go from one relationship to another, and he was like, oh, relationship?
Right.
That's what put her on pause.
Right.
Because he was not offering her what it is she already had.
Right.
He's just offering some dick.
Right. Initially, at least.
Right. And she's like, I can't give up 5 years of relationship just for some dick. Right.
She didn't want to do that at that moment.
Right.
So we were like, okay, well, you're not ready to leave yet, which is fine.
Right.
There was something there. I mean, they both said they love each other. Clearly there's something there.
Right.
But yeah, like Daniel comes to her job and is like, yeah, you know what? My bad. I fucked up. You know, it was weird. And I just want to say whatever my part was, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just he came by looking fine and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was about to turn into the stalker dude or something, but she kept entertaining it, and then it's kind of like, Yeah. You know, Daniel got dropped kind of hard too. Like,
man.
You know, like, man. Daniel got dropped.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because she eventually gets to the point where she sees, like, the moment where she sees Lawrence really making strides, that scene where he's practicing for his interview in the mirror. And in that moment, it occurs to her, I need to continue to support and build him up. He is trying. Yeah. I love him.
Right. He took a job he didn't want. And that's, women, a lot of people act like that's just the easiest shit in the world. If you got a degree, you've been making 60 plus a year, and you're like, you know what? In this market, let's be honest, in this market, since the crisis, you can't just hop and get another job like that sometimes.
Right.
Like, okay, so I got to make a job making 30?
Yeah.
25?
Sales.
Right. Right. I don't really want to do that. But he was like, you know what? Fuck it. And I even seen some blog that was like, really? He got a Best Buy job? He could have done this and that? Like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, he took a job that he's clearly overqualified for.
Right.
And it's not going to get the money, but it was like, look, I got to bring in some bread.
Right.
So let me
get my hustle on.
Let me swallow my pride and just do the motherfucking job.
Get my hustle on.
Right. And he did that. And when she was like, you got a job? It was Best Buy. But he's just like, look, I got to bring in the money.
Yep.
Like, all right, fine. She with that. And then he's trying, finally gets the interview, and that works out. So, yeah, she was like, oh, my God, he really trying.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.